stand together with me, if you will, and just going to abbreviate the reading this morning. Just read verses 10 and 11 and 12. The Apostle Paul, writing this epistle to get the churches into unity with one another, and he's done that in this epistle up through chapter 5 and the first part of chapter 6. Then he comes to verse 10, finally, or in conclusion, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's bow for prayer as we come this morning. Father, in this place today, we just want to give you thanks for all that you allow us to do in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Father, for the gospel's sake, we endeavor to do the things that we do in this world and in this life. And because your grace and mercy is powerful, it's real, we just ask, Father, this morning that your word would come alive to us, because we understand that there is a warfare, the battle of the ages, from the beginning when Satan interrupted your kingdom, your heaven, with his rebellion. Now, Father, we are recipients of your grace and mercy, and the enemies of you have become our enemies as well. And we just pray, Father, you'll give us new, clear, fresh insight into your word. And we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Here in this epistle, Paul is calling the people to a unity. You know, there's different kinds of unity. Remember here, months ago, when political things going on and people not getting their way, and so people decide to come against Wall Street and all of this, and these people had a unity, didn't they? They had what I call an emotional unity. They would come and gather together and protest. Protest against whatever their things were there. Most of those, probably many, but many of the people that at least were interviewed were people who were there to protest Wall Street and all that stuff, whatever it was. But many of those people interviewed had no idea what they were protesting against. They just knew they were against it and what little bit of information they had. So, but they were there in unity. And, you know, you can have a unity that's not right or that's not good. And so they were stirred up emotionally. And so they were in unity one with another for the purpose of fighting, for the purpose of protest, whatever that might be. But there is a unity to the people of God that Paul talks about in this entire epistle of Ephesians. It is a unity that belongs in the body of Christ. It is the unity of God it's the unity that God produces in your life and in my life for us to come together. But you see, when we come together in the unity that God provides, that stirs up the enemy. And so the enemy is out to oppose you and me. Now, the enemy is the devil and the demons, those who have the fallen angels that have fallen with him. What is the ultimate goal of the enemy of God? What is the ultimate goal of the devil? It is to come against God. It is to come against and destroy the effectiveness of God and His work and His will and His power. He can't do it, but that's His goal for you and me. We had this in my Sunday school class this morning, and the goal of the devil in your life personally is to destroy the reputation of God. Do you understand that? It's to destroy the reputation of God. And you and I must live our lives in such a way, with this spiritual warfare going on, that Satan does not use you or me, nor any of his children, to allow the world to come and have a false view of God or a false idea of who God is and what he is doing. So there is this unity going on in the body of Christ, and it is produced by God himself. He talks about spiritual gifts, and you and me and in the church, people have different talents, different abilities. People have different spiritual gifts, and everyone has a spiritual gift to serve God with and to bring glory to God in this world and this life. And so he gives all these things so that there is a unity in the faith. Those who have faith in God and those who have faith in Christ. Now this morning, because of how our time has run this morning, if I just make this one important impression on all of us, it's the beginning. It's the good beginning. It's something for the foundation for the rest of it, that we have to do here. There is a warfare that's going on. And here's what you and I must realize. That as God's people, as Christian people, there is a warfare going on, and you and I we are not allowed to just go off on the sidelines where it's safe and just be onlookers and cheer on the others, whatever. You were saved, you were born again, if it's real in your life, you are an enemy of Satan. And the enemy of God is your enemy and my enemy. And so last week I read this list, and I want to bring it, just kind of go over it very quickly, and then add some to it here just very shortly. Because we think of warfare that it's there's things that are happening, whatever. But you see, sometimes the war goes on within you and me, in your heart and my heart. As the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everything that's in the world falls under that. So here is a list that someone put together. I don't know who it was. But here's some of the things that you and I must fight in spiritual warfare. Our own laziness. Immorality. That is being tempted in the flesh to do things that we ought not to do. Pride, jealousy, envy, insecurity. Whoever thought of that could be a part of the problem. Insincerity, compromise, unforgiveness, disappointment, and fear. Now, Dr. Charles Stanley has a serious message on healing damaged emotions. And I've been getting this off of TV and making copies of this for people who wanted to listen to those messages. And there are six things that he deals with in his series. And that is having victory over anxiety in life, having victory over guilt in life, having victory over fear in life, and all that's been talked about this morning, having victory over rejection in life, having victory over anger in life, and having victory over unforgiveness. Because that's the things that people deal with and that people struggle with. And so here are the things that you and I and others that we have to deal with. Now I have a short video clip. It's less than 3 minutes long. It's Paul Harvey, who passed away in 2009, and he made this clip. He made this over the radio in 1967. Watch this just very quickly.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want it until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
He was not forecasting the future. He was observing the present in 1967. There is a warfare that's going on. And I like the way he just put it so concisely. I want to share something very quickly, then we're going to close. And that is there's five things, just very quickly. There is a spiritual warfare that's going on. We need to understand that our enemy, the devil, is a formidable enemy. He has power, he has authority in this sphere of this earth, and he uses it to come against God and to come against God's people. And he is a powerful and a deceitful enemy. Secondly, there is a battle plan. And that's what Paul gives here in Ephesians chapter 6. There's a battle plan. It's an eternal plan. It's the redemptive plan of God. It is, he has a power. There in this battle plan, there's God's power and there's God's promises. There is in this warfare action required. It is at the moment of conversion, you have been drafted into the army of God, into the display there of warfare that's going on and the endurance that needs to happen. And fourthly, there is a determined decision that each and every one ought to make. You need to make that decision. And we didn't have time to lay the foundation for all of this morning. But here is the important part. Here is the purpose this morning of this passage of Scripture for us. We need to make a determined decision as God's people that we are going to do the spiritual warfare that God has empowered us to do and do it His will and His way. As I said last Sunday morning, there is no more important time, I believe, in history than today that we put on the whole armor of God.